Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice
Age! You want to come and jaw with you?
I'm going to make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
Welcome to the Long Take. I don't know exactly what episode we're on, but we'll say it's like
70. Well, the long take gets like
20 something.
Yeah, maybe 25.
Yeah, low 20, something like that. We got Rudy joining us today. We are doing a couple of little news items. We're going to go through the entire Netflix slate, and we're going to do something that a guy at Geigman, he recommended to us, which I think was awesome. He said you guys should go and pre-rate all of the things on the Netflix slate and see how far off you are when the movies actually come out. So we're going to do that, which will be fun. And then we're going to do a video game adaptation, sort of like builder, if that makes sense. We're going to build our own video game adaptation in honor of The Last of Us, which is crushing it. Good ass show.
Rudy, have you always been a gamer?
Yeah, always. Always. Ever. The only time I ever got grounded was because I was in maybe first or second grade. And one of my first video game was an NHL, like, I don't even remember what year, but it was like an early NHL game. And I loved playing it so much that I pretended to be sick so I could stay home and play it.
Classic.
And I felt, I was so riddled with guilt that I confessed at 3 p.m. to my mom. But I literally, like, the night before, I was like, I can't go to school. I have to play this video game. So I've been addicted to gaming my entire life.
Like 60 games into a season. I got to finish this out.
And you're playing every single one, like, full length quarters.
Oh, yeah. Periods. I do that with FIFA. I have a Be a Pro in FIFA where I basically just cosplay as, like, a real-life pro football player.
It's impressive how sports games just – maybe it's the nostalgia, but they really just have not gotten better.
No, yeah. I'm doing most of the mental lifting on my end. Like, I'm writing my own fan fiction in my own head because they just don't want to add a fucking cutscene to a $1 billion game.
They love writing on that. They don't want to have to do anything other than, like, except for 2K in their My Player, they put too much.
Did you see the 2K cutscene where they, like, or it's not even a cutscene. It's like you literally have to do it. You have to do, like, a TikTok dance.
Dude, like, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Like, it builds up, like, your fan interaction.
Like, hey, you got to spend, like, 20 minutes. You can't skip it. You got to talk to Haley Joel Osment for the next 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Just let me play basketball. That's literally all I want to do. Like, it should be an option. Like, you could turn off cinematic mode or whatever.
Bring back Dion Waiters.
Yeah, dude, the Dion. You ever see that?
That rings a bell, but I can't remember it.
It's so funny. Him after they, like, had him do a cutscene for after a game. Was it when he was on the Heat?
He was on the Cavs. I think Cavs. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah. So here it is. Maybe we can insert it after.
It's like someone just brought an iPhone mic up to him and just was like, "Okay, just say this real quick."
Don't make me go look at everyone else. I just want to see Dion Waiters.
Dude, that sounds like a meme.
It's so bad. And, like, what do you call it? Like, I get why they do that, like, have all the players do their own voice acting, but how, if you're the, like, the head of that studio, voice studio, are you not like, do that one again? Like, give us one more shot at that. Sound like he was, like, high off his ass trying that.
I will say this, though, to be fair to FIFA 23, they did add a little bit to the career mode. Made it a little bit better.
I was never a FIFA guy. I just didn't understand soccer was the big roadblock there.
That's the thing is I got into soccer because of FIFA and now I love watching it. So the two of them kind of go hand in hand. Like, I got into it just because of FIFA. I didn't get it at all.
So we could start out with some of these trailers and stuff. We forgot first they had a new Scream trailer for, what was it, Scream 6 now at this
Scream
point?
Scream 6, baby.
With Jenny Ortega because it's Netflix and I guess she's their girl now.
Is that this the chick from
Netflix?
Like Wednesday?
It's not Netflix?
No, this movie's like hidden theaters.
Oh, well, maybe it's just the Jenny Ortega is the world's thing right now.
Yeah. She's the girl from that new show, Wednesday.
Wednesday,
right?
Yeah.
I watched 2 minutes of that, turned it off.
I keep getting recommended it. I'm sure it's a fine show. I just like, I'm not into Adam's Family or Monsters.
Me neither, but I wanted it to be, maybe I didn't give it a long, it's not for me. It's meant for high school girls.
I did the first three episodes with my mom because it came out during Thanksgiving break. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, this feels like something that could be big, so I'll check it out. Ended up being massive. Mm-hmm. It looks great. Like, it looks fantastic. It's got the, like, the Tim Burton, like, shine to it. Like, has that really cool macabre, like, awesome shit.
Just throw a macabre on us, damn.
There we go. But, like, it's just so YA. So generic YA. Like, every storyline is just like, oh, my God. Could have pulled this from, like, the Divergent series. Like,
literally
just
anything on Netflix, too.
Yes. Like, I mean, it has, like, the very clear, like, Netflix writers.
The sheen, you know what I mean, to it. But, yeah, I've heard nothing but great things. So, that's not a strike on Wednesday. Just more of our taste.
Jenna Ortega is a good actress.
Yes, I agree with that. But Scream, I wasn't like a massive fan of the last one. I think it was probably the best one since the original. But like, that's
really you think that was the best one since the original?
But the bar of that is so low.
I don't think it's that low.
The other Scream movies were like,
I'm a big Scream guy. I like two and I like four. Three Hollywood didn't. I didn't love Hollywood, but I like two and four.
Just not a Scream guy.
I don't think I've seen any of them other than the first one.
See, the first one might be my favorite horror movie.
Which one has, is it Carmen Electra or Pam Anderson or both?
She's thinking a Scary Movie, I think.
I'm thinking a Scary Movie.
You're thinking this is a big issue with people born in, like, I think the 90s, because a lot of our first introductions to the Scream franchise wasn't actually Scream. Like, we can very clearly remember, like, 2001 Scary Movie.
Yeah, in my brain, they're the same cinematic universe, which I guess they sort of, I can't differentiate the two.
Which is funny because Scream is like, it's a parody too. Like, it's just a parody of horrors. Like,
We're in like parody Inception now.
Yeah, it's double parody.
But like, I do know the first Scream. I like the first Scream a lot, but I don't know the rest of them. I didn't see them.
Yeah, good ass cast too. Then most of them held up like throughout the rest of the 2000s as well, which is kind of rare for horror. I think like, maybe any given horror movie, you'll get like potentially one person that's good that comes out of it, if that makes sense. It looked solid, but like, it's just, I'm not into Scream anymore. I kind of feel like I'm past it.
Dude, I can't wait for Ghostface to be in NYC. Hey, I'm stabbing you.
Complaining about the rent.
Wait, Ghostface Kill isn't it?
No, that's the name of the villain, brother.
Yeah, the villain is Ghostface. You know, the most classic horror face.
I didn't know he was called Ghostface.
Yeah.
I mean, I hadn't seen Scream. I'm the wrong guy to talk about.
What the twist at the end of this movie is that Ghostface takes off the mask and it's just Ghostface Killer.
That's definitely been done in, like, I don't know, Chappelle's
Show. It would fit with NYC.
Yeah, it would, actually. After that, we had the Shrinking trailer. Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, a couple other people as well. Looked like the Apple TV has been weird. Like, their start was very rocky, but now I think they found their footing and the consistency. And like, this looks like a good show, like a solid watch.
It's insane how bad they were at first.
That first year,
the amount of money
really
they were. I mean, and they were turning money in on those shows. Like,
C
is like the second most expensive show ever made.
Have you ever seen C?
Yeah. No one has. Exactly.
Not a single human.
And it made like three seasons of it. And from what I know, all of them were bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, lately Apple TV like can't miss. Like, everything they put out is, for the most part, quality.
Ted Lasso, still
Pachinko, Dickinson, like, all these shows are good. The movies that they pick out and distribute, like Palmer, good.
We needed more Jason Segel. The last thing we saw him in was that Windfall, the movie
actually
on Netflix.
I never even watched that.
It was solid. Too long, but solid, really solid. From Jason Segel too.
Yeah, I thought the trailer was really good. I liked it a lot. I don't know, like, if you swapped out the actor with Jason Segel, I don't know, or Jason Segel, I don't know if I would like it. Like, I think he's just, like, remarkably likable.
Yes.
Dude, he plays, like, downtrodden, a downtrodden, beat-down dude so well.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, you know, like, sort of forgetting Sarah Marshall character, just in a different timeline.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. Like, a lot of the times that annoys me, but that one I love, and I thought he was so good in that.
Yeah,
so he's just so remarkably likable, and it's like a pretty basic story. Obviously, he's fucking depressed. He doesn't know where to go, and then magically he does like the opposite of what you're supposed to do, but then that's the way the world works, and then you take that into real life and realize that's like horrific fucking advice.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
But that's like the whimsy of movies, and then he's got the older guy that like is trying to help him out, which is Harrison Ford. This is just like, I mean, it seemed very basic to me, but I just really like
Simplicity is good.
I just like him. I find him to be a remarkably likable person.
Someone said this is going to be like Office Space, but for a therapist.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, like an existential crisis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig that.
But that writer's room, too. That's where most of my confidence comes from. It's Bill Lawrence.
Okay.
So Bill Lawrence did Spin City, started out with Spin City, and then he did Scrubs. Mm-hmm. And then he did Cougar Town, which, say what you want about Cougar Town, I actually think it's pretty solid for network TV.
Never seen.
Now he's done Ted Lasso.
I mean, that is a great.
I mean, the guy can write. Roy Kent, who was also not Roy Kent, Brett Goldstein, who played Roy Kent, also a writer on Ted Lasso, and Jason Segel's in there as a writer too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that writer's room, strong comedic chops. I think this should be good.
Solid crew. And after that was the Wonderland trailer with Billy Crudup and Hank Azaria.
Wonderland.
Or what?
It's called Hello Tomorrow.
Oh,
it's Wonderland.
The place was called Wonderland in the trailer. That was why I fucked that up.
Yeah.
Hello Tomorrow. It looked very interesting, like almost like Fallout-ish, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I've never played Fallout.
You played Fallout?
I played Fallout.
Every comment immediately was like, this looks like the opening 5 minutes to Fallout
4. It very much is.
Like the 50s future.
I thought, like, my mind, even though I'm a big Fallout guy, my mind first went to, like, the Jetsons.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I didn't really care for it, but I don't have a good, like, point to read like as to why. Like I don't know, I just was like, it's one of those another ones where it's like, okay, I know where this is going. Like it felt like white version of Sorry to Bother You.
I can see it does seem like that, like almost a like he's running a scam or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
he's a salesman.
He doesn't really realize that he's running a scam.
Then it's like there'll probably be some sort of like narrative about like capitalism versus like the greater good or like what, I don't know. But like it just felt like literally white Sorry to Bother You.
Dude, nothing is hotter in the streets right now in the movie and TV biz than capitalism.
Dude,
bad.
That bubble is going to pop soon and it's going to be really bad.
The Menu was good and there's a lot of good stuff that has come out. And like Parasite, great, but like, everybody's trying to try their hand at like class issues right now.
Exactly. Like, and once that bubble pops, like it's going to be bad.
Also, the issue is that like off rip, like Parasite did it better than probably anybody will. Yes. So like, how are you going to, it's tough for anybody. Like Sorry to Bother You is a good flick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it like transcended my understanding of like the human experience. It
was very on the nose.
It was just a very, it was like remarkably on the nose. It was just a fun watch. But like, Parasite was one of those movies where you're like, it like hits like levels of your like core, like very subliminally. Like it's just that's like a really high quality fucking movie.
Yeah.
And like legitimately, I would qualify that as a piece of art.
Absolutely.
Like it's a piece of art, whereas like Sorry to Bother You is a good flick.
Yeah.
Well, there's no shame in that. Making good flicks, man, is actually nowadays, I think that like you either make a piece of heaping dog shit that's just like just a money grab, or you make something like Parasite that's like a piece of art. Making a good flick,
underrated skill,
fucking hard these days, bro. Making just a solid flick, Nice Guys flick, certified flick.
Yep,
dude, I think that's a certified piece of art.
Oh my god,
it's high tier flick.
Yes
Get Out,
that
certified flick. Also probably up in the higher tier. You know,
it's a lot of stuff like that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's hard to get the flick right.
Yeah.
There is nothing worse than just being like we just reviewed A Man Called Otto. It's just a 60 out. Like there's nothing about it that's like, you can't really take it down to like a bad movie, but it's just a 60 out of 100. Like that's I think
there's a lot of movies suck.
Cause then it's like I wasted 2 hours. Nothing about this was bad enough to be very funny. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of movies like that, that like they barely exist. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a bad movie, you exist for sure because people remember you because they hate you. But there's some movies that are just, they're forgotten about forever because they weren't good at anything. They weren't awful at anything. They evoked zero emotion whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And like that's Man Called Otto. Culturally, it will never exist again outside of once the cycle of it being out ends, which is just true. I hate to say it. It's like it's in the void now. The trailer was like interesting. I'm curious to see like a lot more about it, only because I love Billy Crudup. Like, I mean,
I love Billy. He dude, just doesn't best. Do enough stuff.
Yeah,
like, and I'm not gonna watch the morning show.
No, sorry, not happening.
Just not gonna do it. Legendary voice actor too.
That's
Chaka, baby.
Hank Azaria, legendary voice actor for in his own right. Obviously in
Simpsons
and all that other stuff. Okay, so now we're gonna do our Netflix slate walkthrough.
This is so dumb,
but
it's so funny.
I actually love it. And
also, when I put up that video yesterday and I was like, Netflix is a bad movie studio,
yeah.
I had people coming in my mentions like, what are you talking about? Netflix is a really good movie studio. I'm like, what? Where have you been? Netflix puts out just trash movie after. They hit sometimes, but like 90%.
The hit rate is bad.
It's terrible.
Like, I think that's the thing that they don't realize, because like it's like something where like you have the people in our comments that are like, oh, fucking like XYZ movie you like. Like, The Fablemans is the worst movie of the year. It's like, you don't watch movies. You don't watch enough movies. Like, that's the thing. And like Netflix, they put out 500 movies a year. We have to watch a lot of these dog shit ones. And like, that's why we know it's a bad movie studio. You just watch the ones that are like most popular on the list and everyone's telling you to watch. That's why you think they're a good movie studio.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where that comes from. So now we're going to run through this slate. Again, suggested by Geigman. I think this is a good idea. We'll give it a little quick rating as to if we're going to think it's going to be good or bad. We can give it numbers too, I guess.
Give us like director. Like,
oh, we're giving you all the shit. Okay. I'm giving you everything. So the first one, the trailers have been out for a while. You've probably seen it. You People, a new couple and their families reckon with modern love amid culture clashes, societal expectations, and generational differences. Stars Eddie Murphy, Jonah Hill, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, directed by Kenya Barris, who is the showrunner of Black-ish. I'm assuming you guys have seen the trailers for this. It's like Jonah Hill is dating a black girl, and like his family is Eddie Murphy, and like they don't like him. Really.
Yeah, it's an updated version of Who's Coming to Dinner.
Yes,
Coming to Dinner.
Yeah.
What was the Ashton Kutcher remake?
Oh, it was with what's his name, Bernie Mac.
Oh, it was bad.
Yeah, that was not a great one. And that was Zoe Saldana was his
actually
girlfriend in that, or wife
was it her? Gabby Union.
Oh, it might have been Gabby Union. I'm not sure. I only remember Ashton Kutcher because of the poster.
I'll look it up.
Because we'll it was back. Ashton Kutcher on one side of the door and Bernie Mac on the other. But yeah, so the trailers for this that we have, they've been wrapping around. It looks like this could either, like, you really need to play this close to the vest. If it's too obvious and like no subtlety to anything, it's going to be dog shit. If it's like they have a little bit to it, which hasn't really been seen in the trailers, could be solid. I'm guessing this is like a hard 70.
Yeah, I don't think this looks good at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jonah Hill, so that makes me want to watch it, but it feels like one of those movies where I'll watch the first 20 minutes and just be like, nah.
Yeah, just not.
Nah. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing about this that, like, jumps out to me as like, ooh, I'm curious. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like, it's another one of those movies. I mean, I'm sort of like a broken record, but it's like, okay, yeah, white guy dating a black girl.
It's just let's
just run the jet sweep on you know, race dynamics. It's like, okay, I don't know, maybe it'll surprise me, I don't know, but like that it's gonna make me feel like I'm the problem somehow.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's, it's gonna make me feel like, I feel like it's one of those movies where it's gonna like convince me that I'm not gonna walk away from it being like, I'm gonna somehow feel fucking guilty about a fake story.
I want to see just how they navigate the humor of it. That's my biggest sort of thing.
There's gonna be some they're gonna make stupid jokes.
Yeah. Well, like on the trailer,
you'd be like, oh, I posted a black squirrel on my Instagram. Don't you love me? Like,
yeah, it's gonna be a lot of shit like that.
Yeah, 100,000%.
Yeah, and just like,
Also,
it was Zoe Saldana.
It was
called
Guess Who. Yeah, they just
shorten the title down.
The next one is Your Place or Mine. A man looks after the son of his best friend while a woman pursues a lifelong dream as they swap houses for one life-changing week. Reese Witherspoon, Ashton Kutcher, Jesse Williams. It's a rom-com directed by Aline Brosh McKenna, who wrote Devil Wears Prada and Cruella. First time directing a movie.
Okay, that's strong.
Strong background, but I think when you look at the concept and you see Ashton Kutcher, who's barely acted in the last like decade, and Reese Witherspoon, who's like, she still got it.
He was like almost dead.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'll give him a pass for that. That's still wild that he just didn't say anything to anybody that he was like almost dying.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. He almost died?
He was really sick.
Did he have like a heart problem?
Yeah.
Because I think his brother had a really bad heart problem or some congenital.
Let me look it up. We're still stuck on Ashton Kutcher. This all comes back. This is the Kutcher pop.
Exactly. So I think just watching the little bit that they had in that video and seeing this sort of dynamic, I'm not strong on this either. Rom-coms usually pretty bad for the most part. Like the good ones are great. Everything else is kind of dog shit. Not really many good flicks in the rom-com genre, I would say.
Used to be a lot, dude. The heydays passes by.
Yeah. Like, you know, it would be a great sort of one for that. Like, The Bounty Hunter.
Okay.
The Bounty Hunter. Good rom-com flick.
Yeah.
His, no strings attached flick. He had an autoimmune disorder.
Oh, okay.
affected his capillaries, and he couldn't see, hear, or walk for about a year.
Jesus Christ. Man.
Yeah, like he was, yeah.
I like Kutcher a lot, but it's, yeah, no. I mean, my issue with a lot of these is that, like, with Netflix, is that it's so clearly they're like, check this demographic off, check this demographic off, check mm-hmm. this demographic off. Like, just like going down, like, they're so fan-focused. Whereas, like, if you look at, like, A24, you don't know what the fuck's coming next. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, this is dope. And, like, I am of the belief that the audience doesn't know what they want.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, that's the Vince McMahon. The audience doesn't know what they want. I'll tell them what they want.
Yeah. Like, you make something fire that you're like, this is gas. Mm-hmm. They're going to be like, okay, yeah, this is gas. Mm-hmm. Versus, like, trying to focus on, like, making the fans happy. Like, this to me is just like,
everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. They, like, opened the, they're like, looked at it, like, okay, we're going to make a rom com. Let's get Reese Witherspoon. People, you know, she's a rom-com.
This is targeted at mid-30 yeah. white women.
Yeah. Ashton Kutcher, he's done rom-coms before. He's like older but hot. And then, you know, we're going to introduce some weird supernatural swap situation.
Yeah, it's just like, I will give Ashton Kutcher a 5-point bump. I'm going to land this at like a 60.
Yeah, I'm going 60. I'll give it an extra 5
points.
I'll
put this in the fucking
40s. Just based off the writer. I think Devil Wears Prada, that's a classic right there. Yeah. And Cruella, I thought was actually really solid movie.
I think that was more what's his name though, Craig Gillespie, just like knowing music and how to add it. And
that's true.
Doing good performances out of people.
So I'll go 65. Maybe the ceiling on this is like Always Be My Maybe.
Yeah,
which always was like, which is also like a Netflix rom com, but that's like
that's right in like below the flick category for me.
40.
next was Luther the Fallen Son. Luther, which was awesome. It's an epic continuation of the award-winning television saga reimagined for film. A gruesome serial killer is terrorizing London while brilliant but disgraced detective John Luther, Idris Elba, sits behind bars. Haunted by his failure to capture the cyber psychopath who now taunts him, Luther decides to break out of prison to finish the job by any means necessary. Idris Elba, Cynthia Erivo, and Andy Serkis, directed by Jamie Payne, great name, by the way. That's fucking awesome. Who directed Luther, the television series. Great detective show, by the way, if you haven't watched it. I think it's on Netflix.
I have not watched that.
It's on all on Netflix if you want to watch it, I think.
Does Idris Elba star?
Yeah.
And Luther?
Yeah. Oh. This is something where it's hard to pitch if you haven't seen the show or anything like that, I guess. But like detective story, very raw, gritty. And like, I would say in more than anything else, like very interesting. And the fact that like they have Andy Serkis on board too is just really cool. I think that's, I'm in on this. I'd give this, preemptively speaking, like I'm looking at an 80 right here.
An 80.
Ooh. It's a great ass show, man.
See, I like the stuff attached, but like Jamie Payne, like all he's done is this TV show.
Yeah, some other things here. A lot of TV. More than anything else, a lot of TV. But like this is his sort of thing. He did like I think 4 episodes.
Is Idris Elba a great actor or is he a great voice and like a great face?
More so the latter.
See, that's what I think. I really like him.
He's really good as Luther, though.
Okay. Yeah, but that's a good. You're right. But like Luther, this is his
thing, his role. Yeah, have you watched it before?
No, but I could just tell by the trailer. I was like, this is Idris. This is his lane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hot, wearing a suit, kind of looking pissed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like kind of pissed, walking fast.
A lot of areas to use his voice too, where it's like, like he's like the private dick or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he is.
He's just got it. Next was Murder Mystery 2.
Hold on.
Oh, you want more on Luther?
Well, I was going to say this is the...
I'm going 70.
Yeah. This is the only one that I looked at in the whole like slate of like the new Netflix where I was like, ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like this.
Really? This?
Yeah. I was like, ooh, me likey. Because I mean, it's personal opinion. I love any kind of darker like detective
mm-hmm.
shit like that. Yeah. Like I fuck with that a lot. That piques my interest because they're trying to solve something.
Yeah.
There's a reason why mystery novels are the most popular.
That's true.
Unanimously like book genre.
There's another title coming up that you're going to love then.
Yeah. What is it?
It's the Fincher one, but it's at the end of the year, so we'll get to
Fincher?
It.
Oh,
I thought you were going to talk about Murder Mystery.
Fincher,
which is literally next.
Dude, I
you don't even have to give me the description on Murder Mystery.
When a Fincher comes down the wire, I open my legs and gape.
Ready? Yeah.
I'm want it. So this one, though, I mean, like, you said, like, you know, all he's done is this TV show. Whenever people are like, this person did this thing, or like, even in the trailer, if they're like, from the creators of, my immediate reaction just goes, flop. Because it's like, dude, like, yeah, okay, they like did that, but like I don't know, there's just something about that that's weird to me. Like unless you're like you've done like one or two things, and they're like, oh, this guy did this, so this is going to be good. I don't see that as working unless you're at the level of like GOAT status where like mm-hmm. you've done like a fuck ton of things mm-hmm. and they don't even need to like say it anymore. Like if you just know the name,
yeah.
like Fincher, like if they're like, oh, directed by David Fincher, it's not like from the guy that brought you Seven. Like they don't yeah. even need to fucking propagize that.
You know what the worst offender of that was? Did you see Reminiscence?
No.
But the, through the marketing, yeah. they kept saying like from the creators of Inception and Westworld.
Yeah.
And it's just Lisa Joy, who's Jonathan Nolan's wife,
yeah,
who was like an associate producer on Westworld and like an assist, like she was like an assistant something on Inception, but they just gave her like creator credit. Like,
you know what did
just
that
like
too.
And then it like tried to basically rip off like the entire vibe of like Nolan shit, like and it just did not do it.
Serenity did that too, because they were like, yeah, made by Stephen Knight, the mind that brought you Peaky Blinders. In that movie, one of the biggest flops.
Yeah, you know? I just feel like you're just like sort of advertising that this isn't that.
I do like that. I agree with that.
Yeah,
but I think it works for most people when they see that. Like they just see like, hey, this guy made Peaky Blinders. You should watch this. I'd be like, yeah. Like in my first reaction is usually just like, hey, this guy is now doing something else. I should in that thing. First thing I liked, I should like this too.
Yeah.
You know, did you remember the trailer for what's that HBO show coming up? The Idol.
Yes.
It was like the first title card. It was like from the dark twisted mind who brought you Euphoria.
Yeah, yep. Euphoria.
Euphoria, bro. I couldn't get through season two.
All right. Next up, Murder Mystery 2, now private 25. Detectives. launching their own agency, Nick and Audrey Spitz land at the center of an international investigation when their friend is abducted. Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston, Mark Strong. Directed by Jeremy Garlick, who didn't do the first one. He did direct his most recent directing job.
Yeah, I want you Garlick. Yeah, I want you Garlick my ball sack, dude.
Garlick. The last thing he directed was The Binge. I know, one of your favorites.
What was The Binge?
It's really, it wasn't.
Which one was The Binge?
I'll show you.
Please tell me that's just an extremely fatphobic movie.
No. You'll know once you see it because it has the jizz man.
Is that the one where his dick got cut off?
No, that's the cock or something like that. Fuck, or I don't know. I think it was the cock.
The box.
No, it was like the cock, because they did like the fucking thing Blockers did with like the chicken or whatever. I think I forget. But anyway, that's the last movie he directed. Murder Mystery 1, I think it was kind of a pleasant surprise. Like, because you hear any of the Adam Sandler movies, it's like this. I don't know, especially at that point when like one of the most previous ones he had done was at least on Netflix. Was like the
Sandy Wexler?
No, fucking what's it called?
The NBA one?
The Magnificent whatever. Like
Ridiculous Six.
The Ridiculous Six, which has like a fat zero.
That's probably the worst one he's done
on Rotten. So I was a little like tentative in that, but like that movie was solid, decently funny, interesting enough, and short, which is always nice. So
I have very different feelings about Murder Mystery, which I did not think was funny.
I think it was solid. I think it was solid. But,
yeah, I don't really – this one is – you know, I mean, they're great. I like everyone in this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like all the actors. I like Adam Sandler. I mean, I haven't watched any of his movies in forever, but
– I'm at 50 for this, by the way.
He's in his One For Me, One For You era, yes. And the One For You is just his Netflix movies, and his One For Me's are, like, the Safdie shit he's doing. Like, he's got another movie he's doing with the Safdie bros.
And, yeah.
Like, he's clearly, like, doing fun stuff on the side that he wants to do.
Oh, he's on vacation.
And then just cashing checks on vacation.
Yeah, no, he's a genius.
It really is.
Literally getting paid on vacation with Jennifer Aniston. Like, that's fucking brilliant. Like, I like just sort of him in general, but I'm not clamoring to catch this.
Yeah. I'm low as well. Next up, The Mother, while fleeing from dangerous assailants, an ex-assassin comes out of hiding to protect the estranged daughter she left earlier in her life. J-Lo. That's a bad start, I think, for this type of movie.
Is this the one she directed?
No. Nikki Caro directed this, who directed the live-action Mulan most recently. Joseph Fiennes, which is Ralph Fiennes' brother, and Gael Garcia Bernal, who is a great actor. J-Lo also is a good actor in other stuff. I don't think this particularly fits her. This is like the most hard 40 I think I've possibly seen ever. Like, I just don't see how this works.
This sounds like the plot to what was the Peppermint?
It is Peppermint, except with JLo, basically.
Yeah, what? It's the exact same plot.
Except I think her daughter and husband died, and then she went after everybody in Peppermint, I think. God. But yeah, The Mother, I'm looking at a 40.
40, 30, somewhere in that range.
I think that this could be like I could see this actually being fucking awesome because it's just so mediocre. Like, I there's certain movies I like that are just so basic. Mm. And J-Lo, like, she's not, like, I mean, she's not winning an Oscar, but there's just something, a certain je ne sais quoi, you know?
She came, like, close. Do you ever watch Hustler?
She was really good in Hustler.
No, I actually never caught that, but I know I heard she was great.
She
was
fantastic.
I think she's great. And, like, this is just sort of one of those ones where it's, like, I'm like, I almost would rather see this in a theater because you just go to the theater just for the sake of the tradition of sitting down and, like, watching a movie that is not going to challenge you in any meaningful capacity. I don't know why. There's just something about J-Lo. Maybe it's nostalgia where it's just like, I feel like this one will be bad good.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
So next up we have one. I think this is the one I'm most excited for on the entire list.
Really?
Extraction 2.
Oh, yeah.
After being presumed dead in the first film, Black Ops Mercenary.
100 out of 100. Let's go.
Tyler Rake returns for another high-stakes mission.
Tyler Rake will return.
That was great, by the way. It was so fucking funny.
Oh, my God. So awesome.
Chris Hemsworth. I'm going to try to pronounce it. Golshifteh Farahani, who was his handler in the first movie. And Daniel Bernhardt, who isn't a name like that stands out, but like he was in John Wick. He's like he's in every action movie you've ever seen. You just don't recognize him like the name, I would say. He's a great, great stunt guy. And Sam Hargrave, who directed the first one, is coming back for this one. Trailer part, or at least what we saw so far, looks awesome. All in cold weather after being in, I believe, Bangladesh in the last one. Looks fucking cool. I'm all about it. I think that Extraction was a severely underappreciated movie. And like, you might look at it and be like, hey, it was just basic guy fighting. The action was so fucking cool that I'm into it. I'm just fucking into it. I'm looking at, I think I have the first one at like 80. I think lessons are learned. I think we move forward. I think we're in 85.
Dude, I think, in the 80s. In the 80s. I'll go 85 too. I remember watching with my dad. He was like, Tyler Rake would absolutely fuck up Jason Bourne. Like, he was like, he was so into it. God. I think it's the gold. It is what Netflix, when they're doing these, they've done a million of these, like Triple Frontier, Red Notice, all these action, Gray Man. Mm-hmm. But Extraction's the one that got it right because they nailed the action so well. Like, that is what I'm looking for. Like, that's their gold standard.
Well shot, well choreographed fight scenes. It's really all you need.
Dude, yeah, exactly. It's just, if you're going to make a dude's rock movie, rock out.
Yeah.
And and Extraction just is, it's not anything it doesn't try to be anything it isn't.
Exactly.
It's Chris Hemsworth beating ass.
He's so big too.
He's just beating fucking ass, dude. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
You don't notice it as much in like the Marvel movies how fucking enormous he is, because like all those actors are just roided out. Like they're all big. But like when you put him in there, like he looks so big. Like when he's next to the kid the whole movie, like he's so massive. He's so what, 6'3", 6'4"?
And just like the broadest frame and just murdering guys hand to hand combat constantly. And like they have they had a really cool long take in there. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Ironically enough, like they're really cool long take where like they follow him in the car, gets out of the car, goes up and fights in like the stairways.
Oh, yes,
and shit.
Yes. And he goes into the like broken down like apartment building.
Yeah. Dude, that was awesome.
Yeah, this looks like it fucking rules.
And he like hits the fuck out of those kids, remember? Yeah. Those kids that try to jump
beats the shit out of him.
Beats the shit out of those like 10-year-olds.
Next up was They Clone Tyrone. This looks really interesting. A series of eerie events thrust an unlikely trio on a trail of a nefarious government conspiracy in this pulpy mystery caper. John Boyega, Tiona Paris, and Jamie Foxx. Their character names are sick, by the way. It's Fontaine, Yo-Yo, and Slick Charles. Jamie Foxx playing Slick Charles.
I was about to say Jamie Foxx has to be Slick Charles.
It's directed by Jewel Taylor, who wrote Creed 2 and also Space Jam 2, but Space Jam 2 is a money movie. I don't count that against them. But Creed 2, I always thought was solid, especially from a writing standpoint, maybe more from an execution standpoint. Looks awesome. What we saw from it was cool. John Boyega getting to be in movies that aren't in franchises I'll always tune in for. And Jamie Foxx is just... And Tiona Paris, like, too. Like, I feel like I haven't seen enough for
She was really good in... WandaVision?
Yeah, in WandaVision. In Jamie Foxx, like, I'll tune into anything he does. I think he's the most talented people alive.
I'm excited for this, but the only thing that worries me is this has been delayed, like, 4 times now. Three times. Like, which... Because we got our first trailer back in, like...
Yeah.
October, September, and it just keeps getting moved back, which always worries me with these movies because it's like it feels like they're just trying to find a spot to dump it. But outside of that, I think, interesting concept. I like all these actors. I don't know how to feel about that director, knowing that he did Space Jam 2.
Just wrote it, didn't direct it.
That's offensive too. I'll go 75, tentatively 75.
I'm putting 78, but I feel like there's a potential here to go up to 95. You know what I mean? Like, it could be incredible. Okay.
I think this will be completely, the score will hinge entirely on the twist. Yeah. What is the twist here?
Yeah, the twist. Exactly. The twist is what I was like, okay, it's high risk, high reward when you're in the twist game.
Yes, exactly.
High risk, high reward. This one looked really cool. I was really into it. I was like, this is fucking tight. Like,
what was the song they used for that trailer too? It was like,
You dropped a bomb on me.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. It's cool. Pulpy is a great way to describe it. I mean, it looks awesome.
Yeah, and like the whole aesthetic look cool. You don't really know what the fuck is going on in the trailer. Like, mm-hmm. I thought it was. I found that to be like a definite, like one of the better ones.
And now we have one that I think is the opposite end of the spectrum from Extraction for me. Heart of Stone. Fuck, I only just
realized. Millie Bobby Brown one.
No, Heart of Stone. Rachel Stone is a CIA agent.
Wait.
Heart of Stone, and the CIA agent is Rachel Stone. The only woman who stands between her powerful global peacekeeping organization and the loss of its most valuable and dangerous asset, starring Gal Gadot and Jamie Jordan.
15.
And directed by Tom Harper, who directed a lot of Peaky Blinders episodes.
Actually,
yeah,
I do like him as an early
But I mean, I'm at like a hot, hot 20 for this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Gal, I'm sure you're a good person. I don't know. She just is not a good actress.
Bad actress. Like actively bad.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, no, this is...
And Jamie Dornan, like, we've learned that he's better at comedy than he is at this
Why won't
stuff.
He do more comedy?
He's really funny. He's bad at stuff that's serious.
What has he done in comedy?
Did Barb and Star.
Barb and Star, he was hysterical.
He was so funny. Like, so funny.
He was really, really funny. And then he does, like, he before that does, like, the, what do you call it, Grey's, or no, what the
he
fuck
did Belfast.
That? No, 50 Shades of Grey. Like, he does that shit, and it's, like, awful. But, yeah, actually, he was good in Belfast, to be fair. But that wasn't, like, a super challenging sort of thing. Yeah, hard 20 for me. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, 20. Like, Gal is just, nobody's stock has fallen lower over the course of 5 years. I mean, she was A-list, like, could get any contract she wanted after Wonder Woman. And now it's like people are just like realizing she can't deliver lines. Like she just can't do it.
She's the ultimate, like, you know, when people say someone's a system quarterback, she was a system quarterback in Wonder Woman. She was just in a great scenario, didn't challenge her to do anything really impressive. And we're all like, yeah, wow, pretty good.
She can smolder.
Yeah, she can smolder with the best of them. And she's got charisma. She's like, for all we know, like a nice person, all that shit, but like can't act very well.
She works well with the Zack Snyder slow-mos.
Yes, exactly.
Plays to her strengths.
Next up is Lift, which is also kind of interesting. Follows a female master thief and her ex-boyfriend who team up to steal $100 million in gold bullion being transported on a 777 or 777 passenger flight, starring Kevin Hart, Sam Worthington, and Gugu Mbatha-Raw, who is in much stuff now. She's really good as well. It's directed by F. Gary Gray, who did Friday, great, great comedy, and also The Italian Job, the most recent one, which I also think is awesome. You see Kevin Hart in anything, and I think you immediately, like, you go downhill a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Like, the expectations get lowered in anything, especially because this is, like, a comedy action sort of thing. And, like, I don't know. There's something about that just because of all the ones he's been in so far. It's just the standard gets lowered a little bit. F. Gary Gray, I think, is a really good director, though.
I was going to say, F. Gary Gray, that's a really good director to have attached to something like
good
this.
Director.
The thing about Kevin Hart, and I like Kevin Hart, he's an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
In any movie he's in, they shouldn't even give him a character name. He should just be Kevin Hart.
Just be Kevin Hart, yeah.
Yeah, like, that would actually be a funny running bit. But, like, yeah, I feel bad saying that, but it's true. Like, as soon as you see Kevin Hart, you're like, okay.
That's Kevin Hart.
Okay, well, we're doing the Kevin Hart thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kevin Hart, we're just doing this.
Great entertainer, but, like, just something about his movies. Just, I don't know.
I mean, he had that run from like 2014 to 2017 where he was just in every movie
that was made.
Every comedy. He killed comedy movies. Yeah. I blame him.
I'm at like a 65 for this, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Worthington, a good actor? Like, not really.
I think he's good in certain things, but it needs to play to his strengths. Like Avatar.
The F. Gary Gray thing is doing a lot of the heavy lifting here.
Yeah.
And the idea, I do like heist movies. Like, I'm a sucker for those.
Yeah, the heist part makes it definitely much more interesting.
Probably better than a good heist.
Yeah.
Except for Kaleidoscope, which I'm refusing to watch at this point. That's my No, Jeff refuses to watch The Boys. I'm refusing to watch that stupid ass.
It's a Kaleidoscope is like a very, it's not good at anything sort of show. Great background show.
Did you really watch it, Rudy? That show that you can like start at in any order, like start any episode.
No, bro. I was actually going to ask you guys this. Like, I'm perplexed at how they are affording and like continuously just making this many shows.
They're bumping up their subscriber
prices, cutting down password sharing.
They've never turned profit.
Dude, no. when I go through Netflix, I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, there could not be a better time to be an actor.
Yeah.
There's like 2 billion shows. I don't have enough fucking bandwidth to like even come close to consuming this amount of content.
Yeah.
And like Netflix especially is just like, I'm just stunned by the amount of shows. Just utterly stunned by the amount of shows and IPs that are out there. It just blows my mind.
And then you go look at HBO and like they release like 1/10 of what Netflix releases every year, but every single one of them bangs.
Yeah.
And
like, HBO, not HBO Max. Yeah. HBO like original stuff.
Even most HBO Max original stuff is better than anything Netflix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the Netflix model, like that's going to pop. Like they can't. There's no way they can continue doing it. Like,
it's
there's
not sustainable.
There's a new series every week.
Mm-hmm. There's just so much. Also, I'm curious if you guys have heard anything about this. I've always had this theory that I can't really put like my finger on it, but there's something about everything that is a Netflix original. The like way that they shoot it bothers me.
Yeah, it's all
is
the
that
same.
A thing?
It feels like they have the same person doing it all.
I think they shoot everything on digital, which is pretty noticeable.
It has like this like veil or like
it's like a sheen to it. Yeah,
is that a thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so absolutely. I'm not the only one. I've been telling that to people. I'm like, there's just something about like Netflix where like even if they didn't have the watermark, I'd be like, oh, that's a Netflix original.
Exactly. Yeah, you
like,
can tell
everything about it is like has like a it's like they have like a Netflix stock filter.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like this uniform feel to them.
It's
all.
A sheen that like.
Everyone notices it. Again, and not just you. That is a very common thing.
Okay,
for people
there
that
you go. Okay,
that's why when I like went through these series and put up a video on like TikTok and was like running through them. We'll get to it in a second. Like Zack Snyder, I said like I don't think Zack Snyder is a great director, but I think like if you are a director with a very strong sense of style, I think that's important for Netflix because you got to be able to break out of their mold, or else like it just all blends into the same shit. Like
exactly,
have your own style and make sure you enforce it.
Next up, we have Damsel. After being locked in a tower and then hidden deep in a forest to prevent a prince from rescuing her, long-haired Rapunzel vows to get revenge. Stars Millie Bobby Brown, Angela Bassett, and Robin Wright. Directed by Juan Carlos
Fresnadillo.
Fresnadillo, who directed 28 Weeks Later, which was the worst sequel of 28 Days Later. So this movie... This is like the ultimate Netflix movie.
Yeah,
you know
this
what
is
I mean?
Just a no.
You just look at it and it's like, it looks like it's like a money laundering scheme, basically. And like Millie Bobby Brown, awesome actress. She's been in other good Netflix movies like the Sherlock or Enola Holmes. Like she's really good at that. This is the type of thing where it's like, this is like a fake movie. This isn't real to me.
How do they get her to do this?
Money. Maybe she has some sort of contract with Netflix, like a multi-picture deal with Netflix, but it
just seems somewhat selective though. Does she not?
I mean, I guess, but it's just, I don't know, man. It's everything about this looks like it's going to be dog shit. I'm at like a fucking,
it reminds me of that. What did Joey King do last? The Princess.
Oh yeah.
Like it reminded me of that, which was also not good.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm going 50, 40. I'm going 40.
Going 40
I
as
like
well.
Millie and I like Angela Bassett, but.
Yeah, I fuck with Millie heavy, but...
Mm-hmm. Okay, Drake.
That's
chill
just
out.
Drake, yeah.
Listen, I'm not taxing her. I'm just a fan.
Dude, that shit was so creepy.
Yeah, weird.
the next one looks more interesting. Pain Hustlers. Pain Hustlers. Liza has a dream of a better life for her and her daughter, so she gets a job at a bankrupt pharmacy, and Liza's guts catapult the company into getting into the high life, not knowing that she will soon be in the middle of a criminal conspiracy starring Emily Blunt... Chris Evans and Catherine O'Hara from obviously Home Alone. And
solid cast.
Andy Garcia is in there too.
Directed by David Yates, who did like basically every Harry Potter except for the first two.
First
three. Very interesting back end with Yates. Really good cast. Interesting plot.
This sounds like just Molly's Game.
It's I can see like the comparisons there for sure. It's just like I'm curious how they approach this genre wise, because like pharmaceutical sales is like a devious, devious injury, like in industry. So I don't know if they're going to take that angle or they're going to take more like just like a regular standard criminal conspiracy sort of deal. But I'm interested in it. I'm throwing like in like a, let's say a 78 at this. I say 78 for Pain Hustlers.
This is the writer's like first credit, which is,
I kind of actually like that.
Yeah, it's an adaptation of a book.
That puts points up.
Yeah.
Because presumably the book did well, usually.
This is one of those ones, though, you just have no way of predicting.
Yeah.
Like, zero ability to predict. Stuff it. But I will say this, though. I think Chris Evans typically doesn't say yes to things unless it is of a certain quality. Am I tripping?
More recently, sort of yes. But then he also does, like Operation Red Sea or whatever the fuck that is.
What was Red Sea?
The
Gray Man?
No, but Gray Man, you can count under there too. But it was like a movie where like he was like a fucking diver in Africa or something. It was really weird. It came out in the middle of the Captain America runs. Like, he does random movies outside of the franchises, but then he does like Knives Out. So
yeah, I think that the cast is,
Emily Blunt is very selective.
Yes, with her, that's stuff. True.
She's like notably like has been known as like a very selective person.
That Jamie Dornan movie she did, that was dog shit.
What Jamie Dornan movie did she do?
Like last year, not 2022, 2021, she did one with Jamie Dornan where they were like Irish people falling Wild in love Mountain. Or something. Yeah, Time, something.
Wild about, Mountain?
No, something Mountain Time or something something Time. T-H-Y-M-E, I think.
It's not showing up. Wild Mountain Time.
Oh, that's right.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, that one. It was bad. Yeah, I don't know. It looks... We'll see when we get there. And then this is the one I think we're probably all the most excited for outside of Extraction. The killer, an assassin, begins to psychologically crack as he develops conscious, even as his clients continue to demand his skills. Michael Fassbender, Tilda Swinton, directed by David Fincher. Is, I think, the first one of his multi-picture deal I think he did had with Netflix. I love this. I love, because we're big Fassbender guys, and Fassbender has the worst agent of all time. Like, just keep putting like terrible movies.
Dude.
So many bad movies.
So bad.
Like fucking Assassin's Creed movie. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Barely anyone does.
The Snowman,
one of the worst movies of like whatever 2019, whatever year that was. So many terrible movies and very few good ones. And then like now him and David Fincher, like that feels like a no fail scenario. I'm very high on this.
Just feels like there's no way this will be bad.
I'm at a 90 on it.
Yeah, Fincher... it's hard to envision a world where he just doesn't do the Fincher thing.
Yeah.
Like even his bad stuff, like not even bad stuff, like even something like Mank, which isn't like phenomenal. It's still a really good movie that's Oscar nominated.
Yeah. And like even the shit like he was doing on like The Side, almost like Mindhunter, was like one of the best Netflix shows.
I was about to bring this up. This better crazy. Be fucking great, because if it's not great, I'm going to be so mad that Netflix cut his deal on Mindhunter to have him do this shit.
I mean, the second season definitely wasn't as good as the first, but still Mindhunter was brazy.
In season two, even if it wasn't as good, it's still better than 90% of the stuff Netflix was making.
Yes, exactly.
Like 95%, like, yeah.
Oh, God.
I still don't understand what happened there.
He like, said why? That like that it cost a lot to make and that not
they
a lot
don't
of people,
give a fuck about that.
That's the exactly. weird thing. And they said also not a lot of people were watching it, which also feels crazy because I feel like everyone I met ever has seen.
I will say this, though. They fucked up the like who knows why. There's probably a billion reasons and ones we don't know. But they took way too long for two to come out.
Yeah.
Like there like, were what, like the static kind of wore off.
I mean, people are serial killer crazy right now. Like more than ever. Like you see, like, they're going ballistic over Ted Bundy and all that shit.
Yeah, instead of sexualizing Jeffrey Dahmer, how about we just like make a good, like, good true
psychoanalyze
crime
him? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's cool. Like, I mean, it was just really fucking cool. The style was cool. The music was cool. Like, everything about it, the way it was shot, was just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the second season was sort of a drag compared to the first, I felt, but. Yeah, no, that was disappointing. I was pretty fucking sad.
What was the big guy's name? The big serial killer?
Oh.
Dude, he was so good.
That's Cameron Britton who plays him. He was really good.
What is his name?
Ed?
Ed. He skull fucked his mom's dead skull.
He was Helms. Great in that series.
It's not Ed Helms from The Hangover. Fuck.
I forgot. Ed, what is...
Kemper. Kemper.
Ed Kemper. Yeah. That character was... That was really,
awesome.
It was so good, dude.
The next is A Family Affair. An unexpected romance triggers cosmic or comic consequences for a young woman, her mother, and her boss grappling with the complications of love, sex, and identity.
No.
Joey King, Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron, directed by Richard LaGravenese.
Yeah, nah, dude.
His most recent thing is Freedom Riders that I recognized.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, this looks like dog shit.
Bro.
Throwing a 20 at it.
Bro, Efron, do the world a favor and just keep going around the world with your weird life coach. That was gas, dude. That was fucking fire. That was awesome.
That was some of his best.
Go around the world and have the guy explain water.
Yeah.
And then have your mind blown by water. I like seeing Zac Efron just going around the globe and being mind blown by legitimately just naturally occurring things.
That's what Chris Hemsworth is kind of doing now. Like with that, it was a Disney show or whatever he's been doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it's the one where they went from England to France.
And
they went through the channel, and his like life coach goes, "I want you to take your shoes off right now. We just shifted, made a major movement, and we've traveled a lot. We need to get grounded with the earth and reorganize ourselves with the Earth's magnetic field." Which I get that. Like, call me crazy, I fuck with that. They went from England to France.
Yeah,
they went in a fucking tunnel. It's 100 miles.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he went to the moon. I mean, it was amazing.
Or even like really cross continent. It was just kind of a long drive.
Yeah, no, this sounds like dog shit. Joey King, she is the quintet, like even more so than Millie Bobby Brown. They need someone to throw out a movie. They're putting in Joey King.
Yeah. I feel bad for her, man, in a big time. Next was Leave the World Behind. This is interesting. A family drama based on the upcoming novel by Rumaan Alam, which is like a weird synopsis to give. Ethan Hawke, Julie Roberts, Kevin Bacon, Mahershala Ali, a lot of heavy hitters. I don't know if that's just me, but I would think of Ethan Hawke and Kevin Bacon as being very similar. Like, I'm shocked I couldn't see them in a million similar movies.
This is my number two on the year.
They're the same type of white dude.
Mm-hmm. It's directed by Sam Esmail, who directed Mr. Robot Baby. Yeah, Mr. Robot Guy. Very interesting. Just the cast list alone is like you're immediately in, especially Mahershala Ali, who I feel like
I haven't seen
a lot lately. I feel like.
Yeah, no, I love Mahershala Ali. I think he's
so good.
So good. I think he's so good. So I will see this one strictly based off Ali.
Yeah. I'm 85.
And
on
Hawk,
right now.
Dude. I mean, Hawk goes crazy.
Yeah, I'm up at an 85.
Yeah.
This would be number two on the year for me. This is like, get everyone in there.
Yeah.
What was the
dude? I think SML. You haven't watched Mr. Robot, but fuck if that showed up.
I've seen it.
You have?
I've watched Mr. Robot. I didn't watch the last season of it.
Oh, dude, the last season was so good.
I didn't. You know what? I think the best compliment I can give Mr. Robot is that it convinced me that Christian Slater wasn't a shitty actor. Because I was like, this guy's terrible. He was awful.
He was good for that role.
Yeah,
he was good. I like his 90s stuff. His early 90s stuff.
Fucking Broken Arrow. Like
Heathers and
Pump Up
the Volume.
He's not asked to do a lot. And like anytime he is, it's just bad.
Dude, you got to watch Pump Up the Volume. He's great in that.
I'm just not a fan until Mr. Robot. And I was like, oh yeah, he's got it in the right spots.
It's also like the perfect role for Rami Malek.
Yes, that's also true. Well casted all around, I'd say. And then the last one is Rebel Moon, which has been talked about a lot. A young woman seeks out warriors from other planets to fight tyrannical armies terrorizing her peaceful colony. Charlie Hunnam, Sophia Boutella, Anthony Hopkins, Corey Stoll, Ed Skrein, or Skrein, I don't know how you pronounce it, Jaimin Hansu, and it's directed by Zack Snyder. It's basically Zack Snyder's Star Wars, I guess, if you want to call it that. Zack Snyder is so hard to predict.
This has got the biggest variance. This could be a 20. This could be an 85. There's really...
Yeah.
I mean,
this is impossible to predict.
This could be an absolute fucking disaster.
The few clips we got looked disaster-ish.
The trailer did not look good.
Yeah.
I didn't even really look at the clips. I was looking at the trailer or the screenshots because it was like you only got like 2 seconds of clips.
Yeah, but like you see like explosions and stuff and I'm like, eh. And like the fact that Netflix is in charge of like a big scope sci-fi CGI thing, I'm like, eh.
You know what's also worrisome? This is going to come out like 2 months after Dune Part 2.
Yeah, that's true.
That Dune sucks. Part 2 is going to come out and then
eat up all the sci-fi territory.
Yeah, this sci-fi
dude,
opera.
Call me crazy, man, but I think Zack Snyder is unanimously overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's... I think there's only just a group of people that really... It's the Snyder fans. And the Snyder fans they think he is the greatest director of all time.
That's the thing. I don't think Zack Snyder's overrated. I think he is vastly overappreciated by his fans.
Yes.
Like, if that makes sense. Like, people, his fans think he's like
legit. Like, his fans can't just be like, oh, he like makes movies I really like. They have to be like, oh, like he has changed modern Hollywood. Like, they legitimately think he changed modern Hollywood.
No, no. He when I think of Zack Snyder, I think of like he makes iPhone case type movies.
Mm.
Like he makes sharper image type movies where it's like, whoa, dude, there's shadows.
Yeah.
And there's fucking slow-mo. Like 300, fire.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong.
That is a fact.
Fire. But that is like, at that time, that style was like perfect for that movie and it hadn't really been seen. Yeah.
If it came out today, we would think it's horrible. We'd be like, this is the most over CGI'd, overwrought garbage.
Dude, I would.
I don't think so. I think that shit would go to like straight to TNT if like.
No, I think it would still be like a dude's rock. Like I think it would be like RRR, like where it's just like this is so ridiculous.
That's the thing with Zack Snyder, which is why I feel like fuck with him to that degree, where it's like he is the dude's rock director. He's that guy. You know what I mean?
No, like, dude, he's the kind of dude's rock where he's like his fans are like crypto dudes.
Mm, that's true.
That is true. Yeah, he even gets them on like the little app, like Velo. Like
they're Vero, crypto dudes.
Velo.
Yeah. Vero. Yeah. Vero, I think.
Right? Vero, yeah. He gets them on like their own app.
He has
like,
his own Zack Snyder app, basically. That like every time he drops news, he drops it on there.
Drops it on this like Vero app.
That's kind of cool.
Which is just like, it's like Twitter, but it's just not Twitter.
No, I respect him for like how like interactive he actually is with the fans. Like he's like, he loves his fans and they love him back for it.
It was a great interview too.
And I'm a Man of Steel defender, but I think that had a lot more to do with Christopher Nolan being involved than it did him. Because once Nolan was gone, fucking.
Having said that, I'm going to see this because I am never, I'm never not looking for sci-fi. Mm-hmm. I love sci-fi. I'll watch bad sci-fi. I'll watch medium sci-fi. Like sci-fi is the one thing where I'm like, I'll just watch it because I love sci-fi. So I'm going to watch it.
I got to say, the places outside of Hollywood have been making some really good sci-fi lately, like Korea and China.
Korea's been nailing it.
Really good at sci-fi recently. All right. So that's the end of the Netflix haul. Now we get to make our own video game movies. We'll just do me, Gooch, then Rudy.
You want to just like go like...
I think we just do
title,
the whole thing.
Yeah. What title you want to do? Your lead actor, second actor.
Let's just do all... Director, we'll do the whole thing at once. I think each, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So I'll just throw mine in.
Yeah, it'll be easier to compartmentalize for the fans.
Okay. Let me pull up my list. So
for mine, I have... I want to make, in my dream world, a Halo movie. The Halo show was terrible.
Yeah.
But I want to make a Halo movie that is specifically Halo ODST. Because Halo ODST, you ever see the trailer?
Trailer
for ODST is the hardest video game trailer ever. Maybe just the hardest trailer ever made, period.
Yeah.
I just went through and I grabbed the character list from the game. Like, the game itself isn't remarkably memorable, but I think the idea of starting off a Halo universe with ODST is smart because basically, when you have Master Chief and you have Spartans, that's like a level of suspension of like disbelief to a degree. And also, when you have Master Chief take his helmet off, people are going to get pissed. But you can't hire a big time actor to play Master Chief if like you're never going to see their face.
Tom Hardy.
I don't know, dude. Tom Hardy. Pedro Pascal did The Mandalorian and like.
But he took the bucket off.
But that's also a series and he did take it off. And like his voice was a big part of it. And I'm thinking like if you have Master Chief, right, you need to have the guy voicing Master Chief that actually voiced him. I forget his name off the top of my head. Like that's just like there's iconic parts of that where it's very difficult to find a good enough name for that. I think with ODST, you don't have that helmet issue, really.
So you're thinking the James Earl Jones route. Like, just like, guy in a suit, but you got a voiceover.
Bro, my entire childhood, I just, with no evidence, just was like, oh, that's Kiefer Sutherland.
It's not that dissimilar of a voice.
And then, like, years and years and years later, they were like, yeah, it's not Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah. I was just like, you know what? I never actually did any Googling. I just was like, that's Kiefer Sutherland.
I think that ODST just being like regular people, but in you can make a legitimately great war movie within the sci-fi setting. So the characters, there's Dare, who is in like Office of Naval Intelligence officer, like the CIA company agent, basically. Charlize Theron. It was a girl in the game. Girl here.
Okay.
You think about her role in Prometheus. It'd be almost like that, if that makes sense. Which, by the way, amazing sci-fi movie on its own.
Dude, yeah.
You're a Prometheus defender,
I'm
too?
A big-time Prometheus defender.
I like
Prometheus. The only thing that's undefendable is the scene where the ship almost crashes on Charlize.
Oh, yeah, and she's just like running in a straight line.
and it's a donut.
Yeah.
She could have just literally could have taken a step right. Fuck with Prometheus
Major
heavy.
Major Fassbender role. Fassbender. Big banger.
He was really good. I hated David.
I hated the droid. The first time I saw it.
Yeah. Oh, but it's so. I think
and
it's
then,
good on.
And then the second time, I was like, "Wait a sec, hold on."
That's Idris Elba. That's Benedict Wong. I think was his ship's mate or whatever. A couple other really good actors in that. After that, Dutch, who's the heavy weapons guy, Dave Bautista. I mean, that's just a no-brainer in my opinion. No-brainer. Heavy Bautista weapons rules. Guy. Buck, who's like the squad leader, who's played by Nathan Fillion in the game, like mo-capped. I don't think he's probably a little aged out for now. Charlton Copley, although I think he's actually older than Nathan Fillion. Charlton Copley, and you probably know immediately why I want him in this. Mickey, who's the rookie. Logan Lerman. I think he's picking up steam. And then Romeo, who's the sniper guy. Michael Jai White. Director, I want Neil Blomkamp. Neil Blomkamp, the guy who directed District 9, Elysium, Hardcore Henry, a bunch of other things, but specifically, or Chappie too, if you want to include that. But if you look at District 9, the actual sci-fi elements of it, like if you look at the world that they built, if you look at how it looks just from a CGI standpoint, this movie's made in like 2009, looks better than almost any sci-fi movie coming out today.
Grounded sci-fi.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like they integrate the fake and the real.
Perfectly. It was like a different version of steampunk almost.
I'm trying to loop in steampunk in my head, and I'm trying to.
What do you mean?
Like it's steampunk into District 9.
Well, because it's like there's high technology, but it's like shitty.
Yeah. That's yes. Okay, I see now.
Yeah. Like for the poor people, I mean.
For my cinematographer, I want Hoyt Van Hoytema. He's the guy who.
That's Nolan's guy, right?
Yeah, he did Interstellar. He did Ad Astra. He did Dunkirk, Tenet, Nope, bunch of other great stuff. He's really, really good in the sci-fi realm of building out. Just incredible.
That's
shots.
A great pick for the cinematographer.
It is.
Yeah. And then music. Martin O'Donnell did the original Halo track, so I would definitely want him involved. But I'd also, I mean, if you can get Zimmer, I mean,
yeah.
Zimmer is the guarantee.
If you can get Zimmer. The assumption here also is like you got like the Avatar size budget.
Yeah, you get anything you want.
Oh, yeah, it's fantasy.
So Zimmer and Martin O'Donnell combination route, I think, would be amazing.
But here. If somebody wants to pay us for our ideas.
Yeah, you should. This is all copyright, by the way. Gooch.
All right, I'm going to go, and I talked about it on Monday's episode of LCB. I want the Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah. Adaptation. I made that first and then I was like, Gooch is going to make one, so yeah. I don't want to step on his.
Yeah, and I've played a lot less games. Dude, it was like between this and Kingdom Hearts 2.
I was going to do Red Dead Redemption 2, and then I was like, you know what? I feel like someone else might do it.
Someone had to do it. It's going to be me. I'm the smallest gamer here, both in stature and the number of games I've played. But that game, like Last of Us, is very cinematic. Like, sweet. The cutscenes are very, like, it tells a very coherent story that you get invested in. Like, one of the most heartbreaking final scenes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
By the end of brutal. It. Yeah, like, I
legit cried.
Mm-hmm. So, going Red Dead Redemption 2, I want this as a series, though.
Yeah,
I want this as an HBO. Series. Like, there's just too much story to do. Which I also considered Skyrim, which I love Skyrim, but, like, that's just way too much.
There's,
like, I don't see a coherent way of even.
It's also not as choose your own adventure.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's not like the story. The fun part about it is just like running around endlessly
not
in
linear.
A different world. The world is the fun part. The story isn't necessarily the cool part.
Yeah.
So my Arthur, Tom Hardy.
See, my thought was.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Dude, my I thought. Get him back in a Western.
I was thinking, speaking of getting back in a Western, Chris Pine, when I originally wrote it out.
He was in my catalog. Short I had list, about 10 different
You know who mine was going to be? Brolin.
Brolin?
Age is the only thing that stopped me from thinking.
I considered Brolin for another character.
Okay.
But didn't go with it. But I think Tom Hardy, I think he's a good actor, and I think he's picked some bad projects recently, but I still have a lot of faith in him. I think in The Revenant. The year that Leo won, I think Tom Hardy was better.
Blew him out of the water.
Like a lot
really
better.
Good.
Like very good. And I'd love to see him back in that setting. Yeah. So going with Tom Hardy, and he's a little younger too.
Yeah.
You know, like some of these actors that I was thinking about, like they've almost aged out of the Arthur Morgan range. Like I thought about Bradley Cooper for a second and I was like, he's kind of old.
But
like,
dude, Arthur's kind of
he's
old.
In his like, he's like, I looked it up, he's 36 in the game.
Okay. Yeah, bro, we're talking 1899. Age,
yeah, yeah, which is like 45,
like 70.
Yeah. You're basically in hospice at that point in the 1800s.
Dude, he caught he got one disease and it was fucking curtains.
It's true.
It's true.
Basically caught a cold and died.
Yeah. If he had even sniffed the antibiotic, he'd be chilling.
No, he's just drinking that like snake oil.
Yeah,
like,
literal snake
just
oil.
Just cocaine water. my Dutch did consider Brolin. Brolin was a strong consideration. He was in the final two, but he lost out to Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
JDM plays like that older, grizzled, like, I like him. I haven't watched The Walking Dead, but everything I see of him in The Walking Dead, I'm like, this man needs to be in a Western.
Yeah.
Because like, The Walking Dead isn't pure Western, but it is like outlaw, like dystopian. Like it fits into the Western, neo-Western genre almost.
Yeah.
Also, he's salt and pepper, and Dutch is salt and pepper type.
Yeah, he's got the look.
Big
too.
Time salt and pepper.
Major look. My director? Oh, fuck. I was down between two. I'm going to go James Mangold.
Yeah, damn. He'd be great.
Mangold's a bit Logan, of a studio man. Director, and I don't know how much of a style, like unique style he has, but everything he's handed in terms of like big studio projects, he just kind of fucking nails. Like, He really does handle it. And exactly, Logan.
Yeah, it's similar.
Yeah, Logan is like, I mean, in terms of neo-Westerns, you can't get much better than that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cinematographer. I'm going to go Robert Elswith.
Which who's that? No Richard Deakins. I thought that'd be a no-brainer.
I was thinking Deakins, but
it's like a cop out almost.
Elswood's done There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
Nightcrawler. And he's also done Mission Impossible movie.
Okay.
So what I'm thinking is he can handle like the Western side, he can handle like a lot of dark, gritty scenes like Nightcrawler, but he also can handle these big like action sequences, which
shootouts.
There would be a ton of. I mean, you got the train heist, stuff like that. Need to be able to handle it. So that's the director or the cinematographer I'm going with. And then composer, I'm going Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross, baby.
Yeah.
I think they like, because you got a lot of guitar.
You going with the Rez?
Yeah, dude, you got a lot of guitar strings going, like darker. Like, I think they're top five right now.
You need a lot of banjo work.
Yeah, you top five composers right now.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, they're really fucking good.
I nominated Soul, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I listened to their, I haven't seen the movie, but I listened to their Bones and All soundtrack too, and they did a really good job with that.
I can't hear any more about Bones and All. Can't hear another fucking word about it.
So here comes my RDR2 adaptation. HBO, put the check in the mail.
Yeah.
Need to have it. Like, I think everyone agrees that needs to happen.
Yeah, I'm just curious how you do it and keep it. Last of Us has been doing it perfectly, I think, with that first episode.
I think The Last of Us is going to be huge for some of these moving forward.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but it's, dude, The Last of Us is the meta because it is the video game that is most made like a movie. Like, they almost have no reason to fuck it up because it is
the most linear
story. Like, you just do it. Like, you just make it a movie.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I guess, but in the same way, like if you just did like the main campaign in Red Dead instead of any side shit, like that could be your linear path, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
My thought was just like, I feel like a lot of studios are going to look at this and be like, oh, so if you take the time to do it, like people are going to fucking love it. Like,
yeah.
And people are really loving this.
I think that they would have to have like, maybe the only thing about Red Dead 2 is that the way that the story works out in the meat of it, like in the middle, is it's sort of repetitive. Where it's like you move from, you get go to a new town, you get your feet wet, you can do a couple like
little missions,
you pull a couple hustles, then like you run into some sort of bureaucrat, and then you got to do a sticky job, and then you blow the whole thing up.
This is the exact plot to The Mandalorian.
Yeah, yes. It's true. Yeah, and it works.
Exactly. It's a working formula.
Yeah.
Rudy.
So mine is Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, nice. I love that game.
Such a good game, dude. Let me pull up my notes real quick. Video game show, Horizon Zero Dawn.
I thought you were going to say Leisure Suit Larry.
But for those that may not know, Horizon Zero Dawn, yeah, I don't know your fan base, but Horizon
Zero Dawn. They're big gamers. They'll
know. They'll know. Okay, yeah. So Horizon Zero Dawn, it's a sci-fi PlayStation exclusive. I think it's one of the most like unique takes on sci-fi, if you even include like movies or anything. Like, it is so unique in terms of the way the story plays out. It's like a very fresh take on sci-fi.
Yeah.
Set in the future, but then the humans are, I mean, I'm not even going to explain like, the plot, I guess.
Like cavemen fighting dinosaurs made of technology.
But then the technology is made by humans of the past.
Exactly.
And so there's a cool angle for like, in this game, there's a lot of cutscenes of how we got to this point.
Yeah.
And so you could have like a very cool dual story where it's like showing the past. You could even expand upon that more. A
lot of lore.
Yeah. A lot of lore. So you can go lore storyline, and then you can go Aloy, who's the main character storyline.
Yeah.
For Aloy, badass redhead. Mm-hmm. Okay. My first one to play Aloy was Amy Adams.
Yeah.
Because she has red hair.
Yeah, and it's high profile. Yeah.
High profile. Obviously, you can just dye someone's hair red, but like, I don't know. I just feel like She's good.
Oh, at, this is the girl that people got so fucking mad when they updated her.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, because I guess they made her like too jacked.
Oh,
really? Like, oh, she's not feminine enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still let her thump me. But so yeah,
looking at her now, goddamn,
Amy Adams, because she's able to really like Aloy's character has like a very kind but stern soul, like very kind but stern at the same time. And Amy Adams, I think, has that like range, like Nocturnal Animals.
She's really fucking good in that.
That was one of the most depressing movies I've ever seen.
That's also true.
She's able to strike that tone nicely. The other one I thought would be a good fit, just another basic redhead, but I think can strike that as well, as Rose Leslie, who played...
Yeah, from Game of Thrones.
From Game of Thrones. So, but I think Amy Adams, if we can get her.
Yeah.
If we can get her, I go Amy Adams. And then Hades, which is the protagonist AI, but the AI in this game is highly, highly advanced. I mean, they're full-on characters. They're not just like, you know, ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. So I would go with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, I like that.
Strictly, great, you know, I'm not going to have cool picks like you guys do, like deep ones. Like, I think Benedict Cumberbatch, Smaug.
Yeah.
Like, he did that. He did
what
that.
A mocap role.
Like,
man.
Basically, Smaug is just Hades in Lord of the Rings. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm just sort of doing the, like, the normie approach to it. But for Gaia, who's the good AI, I would go with Viola Davis.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah. And then for Erend, who is sort of a lesser character, but is sort of like the fun-loving, like sort of bumbling fool with a heart of gold that will do anything for Aloy, Danny McBride.
Hell yeah.
That's perfect. The way you described him, like, yeah, now that's Danny McBride.
Yeah.
You're describing to a T.
Right. And if we had done this list pre-Alien Covenant, I don't know if Danny McBride would have been able to have been taken seriously.
True. Wow. Yeah.
But Alien Covenant, Danny McBride kind of fucking delivers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, typically Danny McBride is one of those dudes where it's just like, oh, Danny McBride's in the movie. Like,
same role in everything.
Yeah. He's just Danny McBride, but which is awesome. But like in Alien Covenant, it was like, oh, this dude can act.
Yeah.
So I think Danny McBride would be perfect. And also, like, this story isn't like wildly heavy acting.
Yeah.
It's just cool sci-fi. And so for Rost, who is Aloy's father or adopted father, Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, he's great for this type of thing.
That's great. That's like True Grit.
Yeah, exactly. So he's got that perfect vibe. And then for Silence, who is sort of the
By the way, did you watch The Old Man? You feel like you might have watched
The Old Man on Hulu.
No, I've heard of it though. Dude,
it's really good. He's like good. It's kind of shocking. It's a Hulu series, but yeah.
No. Oh, okay, I'll check that out. But Silence, who is also the like good guy, bad guy. You can't really tell what his motives are, but he's the one sort of driving the plot forward. He's the one who's actually kind of directing Hades. Mahershala Ali.
Yeah. See, we're all having Mahershala Ali in the brain.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. Great actor.
Someone asked it the other day, and they're like, now that, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis has been gone for, you know, he's been retired for 10 years now,
mm-hmm.
almost. Like, who is the best actor in Hollywood? And like, Mahershala Ali, like, has there.
He's up there.
Like, there was a lot of replies to that, and I was like, that's actually, like, a very strong case to be made.
I would say, him.
You could say Leo. But
doesn't
like,
really miss.
I don't know. Leo's great, but, like, dude.
Leo does a lot of the same stuff.
I think that, like, not based on, like, he hasn't really, like, shown it, and, like, it's hard to separate the art from the artist, but I think, like, just based on, like, what I know they can do, I would say Shia is, like,
it's true.
A very, like, he's
he won't
a
have
very,
a ton of work, but
he's a very fucking good actor.
Yeah.
Even though he's a psychotic freak.
Yeah. I was going to say, he's not going to have a lot of work for a while.
Yeah. But, I'll get heat for this too. I would actually say Tom Hardy.
Mm.
Tom Hardy's up there
for sure.
Tom Hardy, if he had never done Venom, he would be much higher in my rank.
Like, yeah.
I think he's actively bad. Like, I think that accent that he decided to go with was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
But outside of that, yeah, no, I like him and everything. And he's very good. Obviously, we talked about the mask thing. Like, he's good with his eyes, like, good delivery.
Yeah. He's just got it.
Also, just very funny, like, backstory. Like, his, like, I mean, not funny, but he was just a drug addict. Like,
oh, he's a fascinating guy.
Yeah. Like, his old pictures are like, what did he say? I'm not gay, but I did.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not gay, but I've had gay sex. I am an actor. He's like, I am an actor. Like,
yeah. Yeah. That was a funny response. Yeah. No. And you know that him and Fassbender were classmates?
No.
Yeah. They were classmates.
Huh.
And I guess Tom was like always really jealous of Fassbender because he was like, this guy is just always better than me.
Fassbender's really good.
Yeah, he is good. And then for the Sun King of Odd, Rami Malek.
That's really good.
Yeah. There's a Sun King.
Yes.
I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Rami's Egyptian too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so there's like these different factions in the game. And like Danny McBride's characters are like, it's similar to like, they would be like the dwarves. Like they strike that same tone of like they're miners. They work with metal a lot.
Okay.
They're very like, you know, brash or like they're brute force. And then Sun King is like the very sort of advanced, but have like strange like.
So they're the elves.
Kind of. But like they're more advanced and they're kind of just, but they have like a weird religious faction that they're trying to figure out. Okay. And they're like, when the Sun King is a good dude who's trying to sort of like shift. It's like a good pope almost.
Yeah.
And then Ted Farrow, who is the like root cause of all this and sort of the main character in all the lore, he's the one that triggered the apocalypse with his AI weapons technology and then sort of dastardly like covered it up and tried to shift blame and then erased all of the memory of what happened because he was so ashamed. And it's sort of a sympathetic character because, you know, he did a really bad thing. They had an AI built in called Apollo. Not Apollo, they had an AI built in, I can't remember which, they have like 12 sub functions of this AI, and one of them was to store all the information of human beings so that when in like 3,000 years when they rehabitate the earth from these AI like built in functions to like bring humans back, they would know like all the technology we had. He erased the whole thing because he basically was the architect of the end of the world.
Jesus.
Because of his greed. So it's like tough because it's like, damn dude, like that actually is a pretty tough cross to bear. Mm-hmm. But obviously a shitty thing to do. So anyways, he literally is like, it's like what Elon Musk thinks he is, this character.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a hyperbole version.
Yeah, it's like if Elon Christian. Musk actually did create things. So Ted Farrow would be Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That would draw so many people into.
Right. I mean, the budget better be big, boys, for this one. Because I'm bringing in some expensive tickets here. For the cinematographer, I wanted to go with the Interstellar guy.
Yeah.
But it's not the aesthetic of the game is not that kind.
Yeah.
I agree. I went with Jonathan Sela.
Huh, I'm not familiar.
And Jonathan Sela, let me bring up my notes. Hold on. Jonathan Sela, he did Bullet Train.
Okay.
And Bullet Train, maybe it's just because I'm like so dumb, but like the way that like the lights are and everything is like similar to what is in Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay.
Like sort of those like kind of like cool, like futuristic neon. Lens flare, neon, and sort of just the crispiness of it. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where like, I don't necessarily want I want it just to look pretty and look crispy.
Damn.
And it's not really like, I don't want the cinematographer to take front stage.
He's got a great filmography too, by the way. Good lord!
Give me some
Law Abiding Citizen.
Okay,
John Wick.
Law Abiding Citizen. Atomic really cool. He shot
Atomic Blonde.
Oh, there you go. That's a way better example than Bullet Train. If you've seen Atomic Blonde, right?
I know. I saw.
Dude, that movie. That I think the best thing it has going for it is how well it shot.
And after that, Deadpool 2, Hobbs and Shaw, which like whatever you want to say about the movies, like the shot fine.
I like.
Yeah, Hobbs and Shaw. He makes shit look crispy. The word that comes to mind is just that shit's crispy.
Very crispy guy.
Yeah. That shit looks crispy. And then
a lot of music videos. Holy shit. Nothing. So many music videos. Holy shit.
Yeah. Gary Gray was a music.
He did Wrecking Ball for Miley Cyrus. That's crazy.
If you say what you want, that's an iconic music video. Yeah.
And then the other one I had was, I don't even remember why I wrote this down. There was a movie I had in mind that I liked a lot. It was Darius Wolski.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, no, he did Sicario, Last Duel.
Wait, no, he didn't do original Sicario. That was Richard Deakins.
Hold on, what movie did I look up? I'm such a fucking idiot.
There's a lot of Polish cinematographers, I think.
Yeah, I know, but this is the guy, but I'm trying to think of what movie it was.
He did the second Sicario movie, The Last Duel, which was great shot.
The other cinematographer I've written down was... He's Mexican, but he's of Polish descent, I'm pretty sure. Manuel Lubezki.
He's a Ridley Scott guy. He did Prometheus.
That's why. Okay, yeah. It was Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
And Prometheus. That's and The Martian. That's why I wanted him.
You want to talk about a crispy movie.
Yeah.
Martian, so crispy. So, yeah.
This is Ridley and Tony Scott's guy. Or formerly, I guess, Tony Scott's guy. Like, he's their dude. That's kind of sick.
Yeah, so that's why I picked him. But I still like the Bullet Train dude better.
Yeah.
And so then for the score... I mean, obviously, like, if you get a chance, you're just going to get Hans Zimmer. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, but I that's an obvious pick, you know, clearly. So I wanted to pick something else that was a little bit different. You know who I think would go kind of crazy on this that doesn't even really score movies as far as I'm concerned? Deadmau5.
There is a lot of electronic noise that happens in the game. A lot of electronic noise.
And he is a very talented creator. Like, yeah. he would, I think that if you were like score this movie, he would be able to do it.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's not just like the typical, like, you know, he can make bops.
Yeah.
Classics, yeah. All that shit. But if you like watch YouTube videos about him creating music and like coming up with things, like, and a lot of his songs are like 10 to 12 minutes
mm-hmm.
that are just like very.
I believe it.
Yeah,
I believe that like DJs could score movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like Ludwig.
So much ambient noise.
Goranson did Andor, right?
Did Andor?
Who did Andor?
Fuck, I don't remember.
But anyways, he like just dropped, like, you could tell like he was just dying to drop a track. I mean,
it was Nicholas Britell.
Britell, yeah. Nicholas Britell did Succession. Like, he just dropped an absolute track in the middle of Andor for no fucking, like, really sick club mix. Like, what is it called? Miyakino's club mix or something,
some shit like that. Yeah,
yeah. Like, so I think both, I think they run very similar brains. Like,
yeah, because, you know, typically like there a lot of his songs has lyrics, but he works primarily without lyrics. A lot of them are scores on their own. So I think Deadmau5 actually could do it.
I mean, I picked Reznor and Atticus. So like I have nine inch nails scoring my shit.
Yeah.
All right. I think we had pretty good teams. We do have to get out here because I believe Robbie's coming in. But I think we had really solid teams. And Hollywood, again, if you're listening, you owe us money if you fall through with any of these ideas.
If you're going to do a video game adaptation, just don't do Uncharted. Like, don't do that shit. Like, take your time and, like,
do something good.
Uncharted gave me the hardest laugh.
That's actually one that should have worked. Because the Uncharted games actually
very linear too.
Stories,
same, like, no, it's the same studio as Last of Us,
mm-hmm.
Naughty Dog. But dude, the hardest laugh I've had in a theater in like maybe years was during Uncharted, and it wasn't even meant to be funny, dude. I went to the theater where the seats move.
Oh, you did a 40x
on Uncharted, that sucks.
And I was on a date, and I told her, I was like, listen, this is either going to be really cool or one of the funniest, most like nauseating experiences ever.
Oh.
And it was hilariously uncomfortable and terrible experience. But there's this one scene where Wahlberg is fighting the like this girl who's like a kung fu expert,
yep.
Right? And they're fighting, they're duking it out. And at one point, Wahlberg just right hooks her, and the seats, like, there's a bass drop, and the seats like shifted. And I just could not stop laughing at the fact that there was like Mark Wahlberg absolutely
demolishing someone,
connecting with a chick, and then like a bass drop and the seats shifting. I was like, I couldn't stop laughing, and no one else was laughing.
Dude, I accidentally bought tickets for 40X last summer for DC Super League of Pets. And I just like sat down, the seats started moving, and I was like, I fucked this one up, and just walked right back out.
And when I went to see Uncharted, the first time the seats shift, this dude behind us just goes, oh, hell no, and just gets up and leaves. Yeah. It was hilarious.
They trick people. They think it's like a picture quality thing.
Yeah.
But that's a long take. We'll be back next week. I think we got a bigger thing planned for next week.
Yeah,
we have KB and Nick on board. So.
Oh, really? We're going to do them?
Yeah, right. So we'll be on board for the potential Guy's Choice Awards happening next week.
Cool.
But we'll see you guys then.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Yep. Thanks, Rudy.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
Hey, it's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pant at work and then the happy hour right after. The Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together. And of course, their denim. Because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One sweet tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.